So it's amazing when we get to know each other better as a team. Isn't We've it? Known each other for a fair while.
Yes.
And Ellie, your
recent addition. New kid on the block.
And we're just discussing things about our families. And my dad, he's a train driver. Sean?
My dad's a farmer.
And my dad's been in home building forever.
Yeah. What does your dad do?
My dad has made a documentary.
And went to where?
He took it to Cannes.
In France, Cairns in Queensland.
Cannes, in France.
Yes. Yeah. And what's the documentary about?
Oh, I'll let him tell you.
Because he's here. John Petrisevich, father of Ellie. Welcome.
Nice segue, Ellie. Must be a professional. I've been in documentary filmmaking for a while and media production. And this year I took it to the next level and I went to Cannes, France. And people keep thinking it's the Nicole Kidman version, you know, in May.
Yes, the film festival.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, well, so I have to clarify that. It's actually called MIP TV, which is a television equivalent. So
it's still massive, though, isn't it?
It's absolutely massive. It's run by the same organisation. And so in April every year, there's about 10,000 people attend. And there's at least probably 1,100 buyers from all around the world. And the French call it a convention, but I found out they call it Congress.
Sounds fancier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds rude too.
Yeah.
But so it's really an opportunity for buyers. It's a market. So producers, networks, and you'll have BBC there who've got literally 200 people there.
Well, you know what? The future's television. They're saying it's not movies anymore. It's TV. That's why things like Netflix and Stan and stuff, they're creating their own content. Like, it's becoming huge.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's really disruptive at the moment in the worldwide television market. So it's a big learning curve for me. It's 3 days.
It's going to be amazing. That will be huge. Now, what did you go out and do?
Yeah, because you think your dad does a documentary. You think it's going to be about engines. It's going to be about
history
of
something.
What's your content?
Yeah, well, I've got sort of an esoteric mind and I like sort of the unusual. Yeah. So if I'm going to make a documentary, I'm going to make it on something I find personally interesting. Basically, the documentary is called Life After Life. So about 3 years ago, I listened to a podcast on reincarnation. And there's this woman in Toronto, Canada, called Debbie Papadakis. She's one of the most famous past life regressionists, hypnotherapists in North America.
Yeah.
So I listened to this podcast, and there was actually an old radio DJ in Toronto, and George Ginescu, actually. And she took him under hypnosis live on air. And this guy is about 70. And on air, this guy went back into past life. So in one session, you can have 3 past lives. And you can have as many past lives as chapters in a book, according to Debbie. But we'll get more into the specifics.
And everybody thinks that in their past life, they were like Cleopatra somebody of note.
But we're all a slave.
Pretty much.
As I mean, we are today.
Highly likely that you were just an ordinary person, right? It's just a newsreader or a farmhand, in all likelihood, right?
And I was really conscious of that when we were filming people under hypnosis. You know, if I hear one more person say, I'm an American Indian chief or I'm Cleopatra. I mean, there were only so many American Indians and the 7 billion people.
There was only one Cleopatra.
Yeah, exactly. So what was really interesting, what Debbie does is she takes people back under hypnosis, but most past life regressionists around the world will take you under hypnosis. What did you see? What did you do? I was Cleopatra's handmaiden. That's the long and the short of it. You know, sometimes they cure your smoking addiction, things like that. But what Debbie does, she believes that 40% of cases, you might have a fear of swimming underwater.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
So Nathan has a fear of very big things, like unusually big.
Like Statue of Liberty or a giant fort.
Wow. Yeah. So it's possible that he was...
Something to do with pyramids, maybe.
A big thing.
But I might have been building a pyramid or the Sphinx, and the nose fell on me.
Yeah,
that's exactly probably what happened.
You could have been one of the
I was
first...
building the Sphinx, and the nose fell on me, and I died. And that's why I'm terrified of big things. Oh, my God.
I got crushed
by something.
And it was big.
And it was big.
Exactly. I think you nailed it. You don't need hypnotherapy.
Yeah.
And so Debbie takes people under hypnosis. So you might have a fear of swimming, putting your head underwater. I mean, that's legitimate. That probably happened in this life. But there's a 40% chance it happened in a past life. And so Debbie took this young lady called Diana Guglietti under hypnosis. And she's 47. And for 37 years of her life, she's had a fear of public speaking. You're nodding your head there.
Yeah.
Disagreeing or agreeing?
Yeah. Oh, Amy's 37.
That's what she's nodding her head for. Yeah, basically, she took her under hypnosis. So she's got a massive fear of public speaking. She's very shy, introverted, and she doesn't have her own voice. Mm. She doesn't can't speak up. In one 45-minute session on film, we captured our crew. Debbie lets your subconscious drive you back to the point of the source of the problem.
Yeah.
So
yes.
She doesn't tell you you're going to Egypt.
Yes.
She goes, do I have permission from your subconscious to take me back to the source of the problem? And as that happens, basically the first time she, you know, and I'll fast track this because I know time's imperative. Yeah. She was a 10-year-old girl in London, 1882. It's on here somewhere. Her name's Georgia. She had a little brother. There was a policeman. So remembering she can't speak up, no voice.
Yep.
A policeman was, where are you? I'm standing in the front of my farm with my brother. What happened? I broke a very expensive vase, and the policeman saying children should be seen, not heard. You know, he was punishing her. And what Debbie does,
Nathan, just put it all together.
I'm like right into this. Keep going.
Yeah. So what Debbie does, she doesn't leave it there. She goes, I want you. She intervenes, and this is what shamans get really upset about with her, because you're interfering with your karmic.
She upsets shamans.
Yeah, the shamans go, you cannot. That's my other film.
Yeah.
She goes, you cannot interfere with karma. That's your chosen life. Destiny, this life,
right?
To speak up, you have to do it yourself. Debbie's fast tracking, so she goes, I want you to give the policeman the lecture of his life. And so, and funny thing is, she pops into old English accent. So, this is Toronto, 2013, winter outside, and she's going, sir,
like Downton Abbey,
And so, Debbie goes, you'd give him the lecture of his life, so she's telling, so it's really weird. Under hypnosis, you can feel present. You're in your own body. You know it's 2000. You know now.
Yeah.
But you're also there. You can see it in first or third person, and you're in two zones at once, so to speak, two time frames. But you're actually changing past history to heal the present.
This is brilliant.
So the next one she jumped to. So after that little bit of healing took place, she jumped. Basically, the next part of the healing was where, you know, we're going forward. Now, Debbie did something really unusual. She goes, I want you to take me to the time, to the moment of your death, and I want you to experience it unemotionally. Where are you?
Experience your death.
Yeah, where are you?
Emotionally.
And Debbie pre-warned me. She goes, make sure your cameraman zooms in for an extreme close-up. And what happens, you get rapid, this is good for radio, you get rapid eye movement right under the eyelids like this. It starts darting around.
Yeah.
And Debbie goes, okay, where are you? It's Rome 1812. So what's happening? I'm lying down. She's on her deathbed. And she goes, I'm being choked. And she starts going like that and the eye movement.
Yeah.
And then her eyelids part a bit, and you can see the whites of her eyes, and they drop down. Her eyes roll down, and a tear is coming down. This is all captured on film. And basically, she goes, what's happening? She goes, well, who's choking you? She goes, I don't know these people. And she goes, on the count of three, I want you to tell me why they're choking you. She goes, because I said the wrong thing. I speak up when I shouldn't. So it sounded like she was 20 going on 21. That was her words. She's in Rome, 1812. And she sounds like a street urchin that got on the wrong side of the mafia or something like that.
Yeah.
And she was strangled for saying the wrong thing about the wrong person. That was the second. This is all in the 45-minute session. So Debbie actually puts them together and actually teaches that you can forgive these people, tell them that they did the wrong thing, rah, 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 you know, for her murder.
Yep.
The last session was really interesting because in one session, 45 minutes, where are you? So we're in Toronto. It's middle of winter. It's snowing outside. She goes, where are you? She goes, Toronto. And that's really weird because if you're making things up,
you do what you think they want you to say.
Yeah.
So if you guys were here, you wouldn't say, I'm in Subiaco. That's really dull. So basically she goes, I'm in Toronto. And then Debbie goes, where are you? She goes, I'm at a school. And she goes, well, who's the teacher? She goes, I'm the teacher. And she goes, how old are you? She goes, I think it was 25. And she goes, what's the issue? She goes, I'm a grade 3 teacher, basically. The kids won't listen to me. They're just laughing and they're playing up. And, you know, I've got no control over them. So remember, three
different sessions, all three people different trying things. To hide her voice. Like,
she's got no voice. So anyway, I'm in the background prodding her and say, ask her her name. We need some facts. What's your name? Julia. What's your surname? Hudson. What's the school? Emory School.
Did you Google it?
Yeah, and she started researching it, and there's an Emory School. We got a 1910 photograph. Wow. We're still researching it.
1910?
Yeah, and there's a picture of a 20-year-old. We're trying to figure out, too. We've got the historians looking at it, and with the school kids there. So we've almost got the exact black and white photo, and that's the stuff we need. Now, what we really want to get on film is people talking in dead languages. You've never learned native Indian.
No, exactly. Or, you know, Sanskrit, things like that.
I love that stuff.
Yes. Exactly. So Debbie's had maybe 1 in 10,000. She's been doing this for 20 years plus.
I've got a question. So, what was your bullshit meter before going into this? Yeah, because you would have to have that right on the money.
Ellie. Yeah, she tells me. No, I'm just joking.
No, but like you would have to like, cuz I'm really interested in that sort of stuff. We've done a lot of stuff with psychics and Mary Rodwell, who's like an alien sort of chick from America. We've done all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Knowing that I believe so much in that, I have to hold myself back
and try to assess
from
it
from fully believing
from a scientific basis.
And to add to that as well, like you're just saying that you were trying to get put under and it didn't work on you. So I've been hypnotized or tried to be hypnotized and didn't work on me. So then I don't believe it. So how then do you stay with it, Nathan?
Well, you're both right in terms of my perspective. Like, there's true believers and there's skeptics. And, you know, you could often find that in a couple. You know, the female's more intuitive, perhaps sitting on the couch watching the show. She goes, I love this. We're going to see the end. I believe all of that. And the guy's going, this is crap. Yeah. You know, where's the scientist?
Sure.
So it's kind of like, if you're going to convince, you know, you don't need to convince all the tree huggers, which I might be partially one.
yeah, let's give it a bit of a cuddle.
Tree cuddler. So, yeah, it's really interesting. So this program, I'll try and answer the question here. It's called Life After Life. And my bullshit detector was, let's just watch it unfold. I have an open mind. I wouldn't be there otherwise. We've interviewed 7 people, and some of them, you know, are borderline. You're a bit of a regressionist junkie, or you're into all these things, and then they want to go do the course, and then they want to become one.
Yep.
And the answers come so quickly. So I chose the two I thought were most authentic. The second woman, just very quickly, was about 50. She was a very boyish-looking Canadian woman, and her past life was 1182 pre-Inca Peru. She was a 15-year-old homosexual boy. And it's a love triangle that went, she was in love with the king, who was bisexual.
Oh.
And she was a stalker.
So Game of Thrones.
Yep. It is.
She was an 800-year-old, you know, going back.
She was a stalker.
How
stalker
of the king. Being 800 years old? A bit dehydrated, I would imagine.
Exactly. And long story short, she was a stalker. She got her head chopped off by the king's wife, who'd got the shits with her. And the same love triangle is reincarnated, according to her and what transpired in the session, today in Toronto. So her current husband played a role. I won't bore you with the details because it's super complicated.
Yeah.
Her husband's love child in present day is from Peru.
And
it's his daughter.
So the patterns are being repeated.
It's his daughter, and her husband was the king, and she was the homosexual boy in past life. So they've all swapped roles.
Yeah, right.
And she's super jealous. She came to see Debbie because she's super jealous, insanely jealous. She wants to strangle her husband's love child from Peru. She only met once.
Yeah.
Because that was the princess from 800 years ago.
So the premise is that the same people could be reincarnated into the same group again.
And the premise is the same soul groups
Because they're learning the same lessons.
So now, you know, you could have been my sister in past life that we married this life, you know, but we learn different lessons. And there's amazing stuff. I said, Debbie, why would someone want to reincarnate into the soul of, you know, a tragedy like a crack baby or something like that? She goes, usually that's, you know, it's a predefined soul contract where you would have an old soul trying to teach a young soul, who would be the mother in this case, a real big life lesson.
Oh, right.
So is the idea that souls choose?
Yeah, you choose. That's the idea. I mean,
So my soul was up in the air and I went, oh, that Nathan thing looks good. Let's see how this goes. I'll give this a bell.
Well, you taught your soul a lesson, didn't you?
I think I was in a hurry. Sure. I don't think I looked at the whole catalogue.
You should have read the contract first.
Yes, exactly.
You know how you can go in a room and you hear this from people a lot of the times. Oh, I don't know. There's something about that person I didn't like.
Yeah.
Do you think that's connected in any
way? Absolutely. And in the reverse too, where it's love at first sight.
And you can't explain why.
And there's stories of husband murders wife 500 years ago and they're still around. They've got this highly dysfunctional relationship now and they can't. They're a mess.
They can't separate.
Entangled. And it's just multiple lifelong hell.
Brilliant, mate.
Wow. Ellie's like nodding off.
We've just been spending that time talking to your dad and it's so super interesting. Do you just hear him as your dad talking then?
Or
do
you see it as... I get this all the time. I get this constant blah, 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 blah.
So that to you is just blah, 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 blah?
No, I'm very interested in it all, but like I've heard it multiple times, you know. I've always updated on this stuff. So.
I'm going to get you in a situation where my dad can tell you the same story 20 times in a row.
And then compare afterwards and contrast. We're
gonna talk. Okay. It's going to be great.
Okay.
John, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
We could talk to you for hours, obviously, because it's so fascinating.
It is fascinating. All right, so when this documentary gets up on TV, we'll speak to you again.
Yeah, thank you very much. I can talk to myself for hours. That's the problem.
Thanks, John.